essential economic freedoms.
The excessive decline.
Greed.
In the dollar.
For lack of a better word.
The late rally on Wall Street is
being to fail.
Growing the economy.
Growing the economy.
Welcome.
This is Money Talks.
Well, good morning, good morning. This is Money Talks, Atlanta's longest running and most respected money show on radio. I'm Bill Lako, certified financial planner, along with DJ Barker.
Hello.
I'm not sure when the last time it was I did a radio show with you.
It's been a little while.
It has been a little while.
It's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate. Oh, well, they're in for a treat today.
Yes, they are.
A treat. Absolutely.
And then, of course, we've got the smartest guy in radio.
Come on.
In research, Troy Harmon. You have too many designations for me to remember.
Thank you. I only have two, Bill.
Yeah, but you're working on a third, and then you're going to go back to Kennesaw and get some other.
Hoping.
You know, possibly be Dr. Harmon at some point.
Goodness.
That'd be awesome.
When are you going to be smart enough?
I don't, see, that's the problem. I'm you make out like I'm the smartest guy on radio. It's to say all I'm just trying to live up to your expectations.
Oh, he's just getting
my expectations.
It's your problem. This is you, Bill.
Oh,
yeah.
I see. Okay. All right. All right. So, kind of a fun week on Wall Street, huh?
Crazy.
Yeah. We saw some volatility this week,
we'll
and
bet.
It's the market's still being driven by the same old thing. It's politics. Politics. So, you know, we
can
get
we fire them all and start over.
I tell you, it's not
redo.
Just
except
redo.
For Trump, because Trump was never a politician, and
that's,
it shows.
That's right.
Right. Well, I think it's probably too soon to say exactly what will happen, but we did finally see the market blink a little bit from.
Big yawn, 2%. Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah, week to date, we're down almost 1%, about 0.96. And,
yeah, what,
you know,
2%
market
one day or something? 1.9?
Yeah, yeah. 1.9.
It's not even enough for me to scream yell into the microphone.
No,
I mean,
no.
Sell,
it's
I
a blip.
Sell.
Yes, no, don't.
Yeah, I won't
don't,
even do it.
So don't scream. It's not worth that.
I mean, normally a big sell-off like that, I'd be like, jump, jump.
Let's do something
jump.
Here.
Yes, make sure
make
the windows
this an
are
opportunity.
Locked. That's right.
Yeah. For the week, industrials down 1.93%. Financials down 1.88%. Materials, it's all the cyclical names. They're at the bottom. Utilities, would you know it, is going to rally a little bit. 0.81% gain. While the market is down 0.96% in the last 5 days, real estate, consumer staples, all three of those are positive. So year to date, we got telecom, the big loser, down 11.87%. The market overall up 5.87%. Information technology is just killing it, 16.8%. 4%. Now, this is one of those lessons.
So we have 100% of our portfolio in that?
In technology. Absolutely not, Bill.
I thought no. You were the smartest guy on radio.
Well, again, that's
well,
why I got to keep trying.
In school. He's not there yet.
What you see with technology, though, is the financials from if you measure back to the election, financials took off like crazy at the end of 2016. Most of the other sectors did likewise. Technology didn't, so it played catch up in January and February. Year to date, it's looking awesome. But if you measure it against some of the other sectors, it's really not, you know, blowing everybody out of the water. It's just a timing issue, more or less. So, no doubt, still technology's looking pretty good.
How did you say retail? How's retail?
We got some retail numbers. Retail sales, where are we
here? Is that not a sector?
It is not. Consumer staples and consumer discretionary are both broken up. Now, if you want to talk about those,
you're redeeming yourself here being smart.
Yeah, consumer staples is like the products that we always have to have.
Right.
Groceries,
right.
Paper
toothpaste.
Products. Yeah,
yeah,
things for our hygiene that we're not going to. Well, most of us are not going to.
Why are you looking at me?
Oh, whoa. Hey.
I brush my teeth once a month. Come on.
Yeah, whether they need it or not, right? But, yeah, staples are up. But you look at consumer discretionary. These are the things we buy because we want them, not because we need them. Down 1.3% on the week. So we do have some numbers for a little bit longer term. You look at the economic releases this week. U.S. retail sales improved in April, rose 0.4% after a revised 0.1% increase in March. So, you know, it's improvement over the previous month. Gains were mixed across the segments. Auto dealers contributed 0.1 percentage point. Non-store retailers, electronics and appliance stores, building supply stores as well were also leaders. Sales fell at general merchandise, apparel, furniture, and grocery stores. So all things considered, retail sales don't look bad. Consumer
just,
price
just
index.
The department stores?
Yeah.
Malls.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well.
Well, I mean, you talk about retail. Now, that's a bigger, I think, probably more of a longer-term question. And we do have a question from one of our listeners today that'll cover that, but just as well delve into it a little bit. You look at, seems like Amazon's going to kill everybody. Mm-hmm. I don't know how in the world that happens, except for the fact that we did get some earnings out of Walmart today, this week, and it shows sales increased at Walmart 1.4%. So Walmart is reacting well to the threat of electronics by, you know, they bought Jet.com last year. And it looks as if what we have, e-commerce growth was strong. Sales and gross market value grew 63% and 69% respectively. So they got a long way to go to catch up with Amazon electronic sales-wise. But the changes that they've made have actually improved that situation significantly. So not a bad deal with Walmart. Walmart's one of the companies that we actually recommend to most of our clients to purchase. So good news there, at least in our world.
Well, what's Amazon trading for?
As far as PE, it's
like one
still
bazillion.
Huge. Yeah. You've got a CEO that doesn't care whether they have traditional earnings or not, as long as the revenue continues to grow. You can make some sense out of that. At some point, investors are going to get restless and want to do something else. But the thing that still seems strange to me is the fact that he's trying to chase down. He wants to become more like Walmart, and Walmart seems to be working as hard as it can to become more like Amazon. So while they pay attention to building out their trucking, their transportation, distribution, and those sorts of things, Walmart, who already has all that in place, is looking to become more and more of an e-commerce company. And it's interesting to watch who's going to win. Well, you know, Walmart's one of the few that have enough resources, assets to chase down a company that's gotten that far ahead in e-commerce. But still, you know, we believe in Walmart, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Got consumer price index. We had a turnaround in CPI. This is a measure of inflation. These numbers are for the week of, or the month of April. 2.2% year on year, 1.9% core when you strip away energy and food. Fed target still around 2%. We watch pretty closely for what the Fed might do next. Still major indications that we'll have another rate increase in June. Obviously, we did not have one in May. We had that news out, 15th, I think, last week. We'll get a little bit of clarity when we get the notes from that meeting coming up in the next week or two. But we really think it's going to be more focused on what goes on toward the end of the year, we expect, with the balance sheet the Fed's got, whether or not they start unwinding some of the bonds that they bought during quantitative easing, which is another way that they can cut interest rates.
Kind one, of two, and three, right?
QE 1, 2, and 3. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, they had multiple iterations. It seemed to help some. I mean, growth is still kind of abysmal. Our last GDP mark was 0.7%. Get an update on that. We always get three estimates of GDP. We'll get that next week. We're expecting about 0.9. The initial expectation was 1.1%. But, again, we're dealing with a 0.7% increase in GDP as of now in the first quarter. Of course, what are they going to blame? It's first quarter. It's got to be the weather. That's what we always hear. The weather out of the Northeast was horrible, and that's what we get. But weather really has been relatively warm last winter.
Yeah.
So Anyway, one thing we cover every week, MBA mortgage applications decreased by 4%, 4.1%, gave up the gains of the prior week. Refinance index decreased 5.7, and
Where are rates?
Well, that's the thing. Pretty much across the board, we lost between 12 and 19 basis points, or 0.12% and 0.19%. Most of that was...
rates went
and
down?
That's interest rates in... Yeah, that's market-related interest rates, plus the 30-year average mortgage was down 7 basis points to 4.15%. Rates are going to be down when the market sells off like it did this week. You see people pile into bonds, kind of a flee from or a flight to safety. You know, yeah. They flee from risk,
right.
Do away with risk in their portfolio and try to make the portfolio add a little bit of security, right?
Uh-huh.
Gotta try to save yourself from the mean, ugly equities market.
I understand.
But we've had a very resilient market. One of the things that we watch very closely is volatility in the market. And I mean, I can throw rocks at just about anybody you want to, but one of the things that we see, I don't know if the Fed's managing the economy better. I don't know if it's the fact that about 20% of all of our companies, at least if they're on an index, are owned by three investment companies, because we have passive management. Bill, you can go out and look. More than 7% of almost every company on the S&P 500 is owned by BlackRock. Another 7% is going to be owned by Vanguard. About 4% is going to be owned by State Street. We've got a situation where almost 20% of all the companies that are owned by those three companies because of our move toward passive investment. To me, that gets a little dangerous. How do they vote the proxies?
Right.
How do they hold the company's feet to the fire? I think things have changed. I think that they continue to change. But it's one of those things that seems to be most evident when you look at volatility.
I see.
Once in a while, we'll have a
yell sell.
No,
we're not.
I think we're going to be all right, because
okay.
Here's the thing. They just look the
I'm
other way.
I'm starting to get nervous.
Well, a lack of volatility is a positive for investors, right? But long term, again, you know, it doesn't hold the feet of management to the fire, making sure that they're going to act in a manner that is absolutely in the best interest of the investors. The other thing that happens when you read deep into the details about proxy voting and that sort of thing is these companies don't tell you how they vote, and they don't have to. You know, they say that they get plenty of advice from outside sources and do what's best. But I guess if you really wanted to just see how all that shakes out, look at how the proxies are ultimately voted. When you have that much of control over the board or management,
right,
or the vote, you're going to wind up seeing whatever the ultimate outcome is, you could probably count on those three companies have voted in the way that the outcome looks. And, you know, we are active managers, obviously. So it shouldn't surprise anybody that I'm going to rail against the passive strategy, right? I mean, I'm not a fool. I understand. But at the end of the day, what we do is we look at things, how the company acts, how their management act, and probably the best measure of whether or not we agree is whether or not we hold the company's stock, right? That's not the case with those three.
Right.
They hold it because it's in the index, and that's really the only reason they hold it, because they're trying to mimic that index. What happens long term is hard to say, but I think that it warrants thought from those that are those investors that are in the market. You know, what are we doing
right
to the system?
Right.
But anyway, I'll step down off my soapbox now, and you guys have a financial planning thing to talk about, I believe. Anyway, that's kind of what we got, dude.
Got it. All right, we're going to stop here for a quick break. You're listening to Money Talks. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.